I'm going to enter into some of you people. This is old hat, and you already know what I'm going to say. Well, some of you people are brand new, and so I'm going to introduce a name to you. You all know it already. What does the blue one say? What does the top one say? Where the name Yahweh came from? Hey! So we're going to look at this thing, and I want you to know it, because some of you have been, let's see this old hat for Sue. She's been around for a long time. And some of you have been long, but some of you are brand new here. We're going to look at the very first word. It, yeah. That's where my little... It wasn't good with vowels up there, but... It, yeah. All right. Now, we're going to look at this word first. That's the vowel. What does that mean? We don't translate it, I am that I am, or I am who I am. We'll get to that a little later. But what does this mean? What does that mean? It means the existing, or that which exists. Not that which comes about, but that which exists. The Aleph in front is what? We have translated the word I am. What does Aleph picture? The what? The ox. The strength. Strength exists. Power exists. It's not the word for I am. It's another word for using here I am. It's a different, tired, different word, although it comes from the root. So this is meaning that which exists. The power or ox exists. This is the word for asher. Okay? And of course, it's repeated over here. Now, we come up here. Do you notice the root? It's the same, isn't it? Bull's got a vav in there with a yod. And it begins with a yod. Rather than an Aleph. Why does it begin with a yod? D. That's the beginning word for he. He exists. He. He exists. That's why Moses couldn't turn around and tell him, ox exists. Because it's present tense. He had to use third person. Because he would address it himself. So he had to say, he exists. Basically, word Yahweh means, he exists. Or the existing one. And we paraphrase it, he's self-existing one. Now, in the word that I want to concentrate on today, is that so far easy to understand? It's this word here that is very fascinating. Asher. Now, it has two basic functions. And however you want to use the functions, it's very fascinating. It's either going to be one that is called relative to one another, and the other one's going to be a conjunction with one another, conjunction like the word and. All right? This and that. When it's used in relative, it can be translated in different ways. Now, I'm just only just give you some background information for you who do not know. It can be translated as, I am who I am. It can be translated as, I am which I am. That's relative. And it can be, I am that I am. All relative. But, in what comes to a conjunction, adding two things together, I I am when I am. It can be translated as the wind. All of a sudden, it gives you a different meaning, doesn't it? I am when I am. Now, to get back to this word, very first word right here, means to exist. I exist when I exist. That's we have this thing. He says he is the one who was and is to be. I am where I am is a conjunction. I am as I am is also a conjunction. I am since I am is a conjunction. I am how I am is a conjunction. I am because I am is a conjunction. All those words, very fascinating. You could turn the share. This is a very fascinating phrase. It has all those meanings, and you can turn it any way you want. Whether you want to use it as relative, I am that I am, or in conjunction, I am which I am, or not conjunction, I'm sorry. I am that I am, or I am who I am, or I am as I am. All these things tells you, identifies you with something, doesn't it? The existing, the strength exists when the strength exists. All right? The strength exists as the strength exists. The strength exists when the strength exists. The strength exists where the strength exists. Now, how would you describe God? How would you describe him? What's the most key important word that you learned how to describe him? You got to call him that. Okay, Yahoo, or Yahweh. That is the power of his name. And I said before, he is not the one that was in the past. He is there in the past. He was there in the past. He is going to be. He's going to bring the past to present. He's going to bring the, quote, future to present. And he's going to bring the present to present. You understand what I'm saying? Why, he is all three places at the same time. And so whatever you have, whatever you want to translate that word to be in, whether a conjunction or whether it's relative, doesn't make any difference. It's still talking about the ox that exists, strength that exists, that I exist, strength exists because I exist, strength exists when I exist. This interesting. Strength exists when strength exists. Without any strength, there's no existence. So it's an interesting word about the word Yahweh, or Yahoo, however you want to pronounce the word. Yes?
This question may make no sense, so I'm not sure what to do with it, but I'm thinking, when did the pre-Babylonian Hebrew, when was it replaced by modern Hebrew? All the original scriptures were in the pre-Babylonian Hebrew. My question...
No, this modern Hebrew was replaced relatively soon. Or ancient Hebrew, no. We're going to go back. The Babylonian Hebrew didn't look like that at all. Babylonian.
Right.
Babylonian. The cuneiform was actually what was used in those days.
Right.
I knew it, a cuneiform. You have a hammer, a sickle, and that's what you normally use.
How do we
each
get
one
from there
of those
to
dies
this,
had each one of those dies had a certain symbol.
How do we get from that to this?
Oh, that's just
the pictorial was more abstract, is what I'm saying.
Sorry, what?
Wasn't the pictorial more abstract?
No, actually, it's more concrete.
Than the modern?
Than the modern. Modern is abstract. Doesn't really tell you too much. If you actually saw a head of a bull, I don't know if I can do this very well. If you actually saw, that's a picture. That's concrete. You understand? This is abstract, because it doesn't look like it. But they have turned it into, over a period of time, when you go from that hammering on stone, all right, the picture, into writing it on parchment, burning it on parchment, or inking it on parchment, they didn't have the same tools. This is just basically used when you have the tool, the hammer, and hammer it in. They actually made tools and shapes that looked like the picture. We think, oh, they couldn't do that. Their ancient days, a bunch of people way back in the Stone Age. No, they were very capable of doing things in Noah's Ark. They found out that the bolt that he was using had titanium in it. Wow, that's supposed to be modern. Well, no, it wasn't modern. And how could... only modern technology could deal with titanium. How come Noah had titanium on the bolt? You know, We think we're smart. We lost a lot of information between then. But to explain the difference between languages, how it came that way, that's something you had to do your own research, because I haven't got a good, complete picture of it. I just know that's what it brought. This was, the next one, of course, is a picture of a man, right? No. And the next one is a hand. And the next one, the picture of the man. So this will tell you, the head, the man, the hand, the man. That's all it would tell you. Okay? You have to get, you know, that's a basic, this new study is coming out and started in 2005. So basically it's a whole new study and research. They're still looking at an awful lot of stuff in that. It's basically new things they're learning. I don't have a good picture of it myself. I have the book, but I don't have a good picture of how some things come about. This tells me, though, that's an ox, meaning strength or power. The word El, or Elohim, of them by itself, tells you that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is, when you see it written in Hebrew, that is definitely abstract. But you have to move yourself into the concrete to understand what it really is telling us. We have a hard time in our world to understand the difference, because that is kind of way out of our world. The ancient writings. And we're still trying to, mankind's still trying to figure out what it says.
Okay, this is real quick. You said that the original scriptures weren't written in the pre-Babylonian.
No, they haven't found those pre-Babylonian.
So that was the work done afterwards, like the
Yeah, done afterwards. The Bible didn't come out from Babylon. What's the oldest writing that we have? What's the oldest writing we have in known mankind?
Job.
Look at Job. You know who Job was? Grandson of whom? Grandson of Esau. Wow. And now we're going way back, and that's the oldest writing known to mankind. The book of Job. And it doesn't look like this. It's all in picture form. It's all in picture form.
Some point we translated
it. Correct, yeah. But because we moved from that, putting it on stone, into putting it on parchment, to putting it on handwriting. If you've seen modern Hebrew, it's so quick and so fast. It's the script, you can't even tell what it is. You know? That's a history of study you may have to look up for yourself. That's all I can tell you on that one. I'm not good on what that's all about. All right. I just thought it might be interesting to know the core of those words, of existing one, self-existing one. The man is self-existing, in a sense. The bull, because we are made in the image of man, right? I mean, God created us in the image of him, of us. So when you see the picture of a man, that's not a negative thing. The picture of a very positive thing. That's the image of God, in a sense. He's got a head, he's got a torso, he's got legs, he's got two arms. Maybe? He says he has a left, and he says he has a right. And I believe he has a left, and I believe he has a right. Yes?
Just going back to the statement, Everett Fox, I like, he says in a colloquial sense, in Hebrew, it means, I will be there, howsoever I will be there.
The word Asher.
Which carries that same sense that you've just described of a God
who
transcends time and space and who has the strength and will be eternally present with us. So when we pray to Yahweh or Yahu, we can come with complete confidence in his presence there with
always
us.
Always present.
Because howsoever, he will be there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, the other one's words that I used was, let's see what it is. Another phrase has been used since you brought that up. It can be translated, here exist I exist here. Behold, exist I exist behold. See exist I exist see. All those phrases can be used to describe the name, all right? And it's very, very interesting from that root word of exist, all right? And it doesn't mean that it was created. It means it exists. Right? So it's an existing one, or in this case we call it self-existing one. And he says, and the one who says, I am in order that I am. That's another phrase, this I am in order that I am. We have this order. He puts it, you can go on forever. But the word asher, what I'm saying, the word asher, don't, in certain places it probably should be translated as that and who and when. But when it comes to the name, you got to expand it big and know, because he's a whole lot bigger than we can imagine. All right. It is 2:30. Any questions? Thoughts? Ideas? Apparently not. All right.
Is it the same Hebrew that describes
I'm sorry, what?
Is it the same Hebrew word that describes Melchizedek?
Equal what?
The high priest of God.
Oh!
The same Hebrew
that describes Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Well, not exactly, not those same words, because he is the... He's a king of something, and he's also the king of... There's two titles he holds. One is king of righteousness, one is king of Shalom. Melch has an entirely different meaning than I am. Asher, I am.
So, you know what I'm saying? His beginnings being from...
Right, he's from the beginning, but I'm saying he always existed, yes. But when you get into Melchizedek, that's a different phrase telling us, identifying more precisely the function of a specific function that he's going to do, and not necessarily necessarily the whole ramification of I am who I am, what I am, whatever it is. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got that.
Yeah, I went to the word Melchizedek some time ago, but it's a very powerful, powerful word. In fact, it's like one of the most powerful words there are in the Bible, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But it's very fascinating to think about what that takes place. But Melchizedek's another subject matter.